Turn again in God's Word to Proverbs chapter 3. This chapter we read earlier. And let's just ask for God's help now as we come to give a word of testimony. We need the Lord's help that the Lord would be glorified and exalted and all that is said and done, and that even He might speak to each one of our hearts tonight through the testimony of grace, even in my own life. So let's seek and ask the Lord now for His help and blessing. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee. We pray, O God, Thou wouldst give us wisdom and Thou wouldst give us help. We think, O Lord, even of these words that we have been singing and how true they are. O to grace, how great a debtor. And Lord, we are debtors to Thy grace. But for Thy grace, we would be out serving sin and serving self. But for Thy grace, we would be on the broad road which leads to destruction. We bless Thee for Your grace. We bless Thee for Your saving grace. Lord, how marvelous is Your wonderful work of salvation. And we just rejoice in Thee. And we pray, O God, even now as we come to speak of Thy grace, as we come to speak of Thy salvation, Lord, You would use the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. And may they all be acceptable in Thy sight. May Christ be exalted. May He be lifted up. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, speaking of Proverbs chapter 3, describes it as one of the most excellent in all of this book. And speaking personally, I would have to agree with him. This book, Proverbs chapter 3, as I've already mentioned, is one of my favourite chapters in the Bible. A chapter that is full of encouragement. A chapter that is full of instruction. Solomon, here in these words, is writing to his son. And he's instructing his son in how to live a life that will be happy and that will be blessed. And this is made very clear as we think of some of the verses here in this chapter. We see in verse 1 and also in verses 11 and 21 that he speaks of his son. He says, my son. And so he's clearly singling out his son. These were the words of a loving father to his son. And Solomon is saying to his son, listen, this is what you must do. This is how you must live. If you are to live a life of blessing and a life of happiness. It was Solomon's desire for his son that he would come to trust in his God, and throughout his life he would live for the glory of God. But as we consider this wonderful chapter in the book of Proverbs, the words of verses 5 and 6 are particularly familiar to many of God's people. Notice what it says here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here we have what we would call the formula for a successful life. We could really say, here we have the formula for a successful life. Trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. Leaning not on to our own understanding. Then the Lord will direct our paths. The Lord will give us a blessed and a prosperous life. These words are precious words. And they often, they have been a blessing to God's people. Often God's people have returned to these verses and considered them and meditated upon them. And maybe even in sending a letter or a card to a friend or someone who is dear, they put this reference down, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, as a means of encouragement and of a means of help to their brothers or sisters. But the reason why I've directed your attention to the words of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is because when I was a child, when I was just a boy, very young, I would have written this Bible reference, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, after I wrote or signed my name. After I signed my name as a young boy, I would have written Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 afterwards. And I've got Bibles at home still, and there in the front pages there is a childish scribble with my name on it, and then Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. As a child, I obviously felt these words were important. And they must have been a blessing to me. They must have been an encouragement to me in my own childish way. But you know, as I've got older, these words that are found in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 have not only continued to be a blessing to me, they have become my very experience in life. God has directed my path. God has blessed me beyond measure. He's never failed me. Not for one moment has the Lord failed me. And so this is my testimony this evening. It is a testimony to the grace and to the goodness and the mercy of God towards me. In fact, as I look down through Proverbs 3, there is much here that I can identify with. And speak of how God has done that for me. That has been the experience of my life. Notice again the words of verses 11 and 12. Solomon says to his son, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth." I've often known God's loving correction in my life. And at times when I've wandered, at times when I've gone astray, at times when I have backslidden in heart and even in life, the Lord, who is the great and loving shepherd, goes after. And in love he corrects. And in love he brings us back. Verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And here it speaks about the person who finds wisdom, the person who finds understanding. That person will be a happy man. You know, that is really my testimony tonight. I can speak of how the Lord has brought me to know the greatest wisdom of all, the wisdom of the gospel and the wisdom of Christ. The Lord has revealed unto me himself, and he's revealed unto me his son, and he's revealed unto me his so great salvation. And that is a marvelous thing. And I can say that I am a happy soul tonight. Truly happy. Why? Because I've come to know this greatest wisdom. The wisdom of salvation in Christ. In verse 33 we read, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." God blesseth the habitation of the just. And again I can say that is my testimony. The Lord has blessed my habitation. He has blessed my home. And he's blessed my family. And he's blessed me in life abundantly. And so it is a privilege to give testimony to the goodness and mercy of God, as God marvelously stepped into my life and saved me, an unworthy sinner. Now my testimony may not be considered by many to be spectacular or sensational. Never was caught up in what is often looked upon as the great evils of this world. I never smoked, never was drunken, never took illegal drugs, never gambled, never got into bad company as you would think of bad company. Never was found out running with the world and the things that are associated with a wicked and a careless life. I was never involved in any of those things. And yet despite this, I was still born in sin. I was still travelling the road to hell. And I still needed to know the miracle of God's salvation in my life. Despite the fact that I didn't get involved in what are called or what are termed the sinful, wicked sins of this world, I still was a soul that was perishing and in need of Christ. And so although my testimony may not appear to many to be sensational and to be spectacular, to me it is the most marvelous thing of all. It is the most wonderful thing that Christ could have loved me and stepped into my life and saved me. It is truly a most marvelous, most wonderful, and a blessed thing. And therefore it is a thrill. It is the thrill of my heart to stand and give testimony to what the Lord has done for me, whereof I am glad. Now, I was born on the 13th of November, 1977. It was Remembrance Sunday. And in the mercy of God, I was born into a Christian home. Now, our home was not just Christian in name. It wasn't just Christian in name. And very often people speak about things in terms of a Christian family or a Christian country. And it really is only referring to the name. But our home was not Christian in name. It was a home that was Christian in practice. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. It was Christian in every sense. In our home we had family worship. Both my parents were actively involved in church life. They were continually and always involved in the things within the church, in every aspect of church life. Even as I think of my extended family, everyone was a believer. And everyone was involved in the work of God. My mother ran a children's meeting in her own home. We lived out in the country, and we lived about 8 miles away from our local church, and so the children in our local community, they were not able to go to the children's meeting in her own church. And so my mum ran a children's meeting in her own home to reach the boys and girls in the area. She brought them into her own home. And there, single-handedly, and it's amazing as we look back now and think of all the regulations and rules today, there she single-handedly taught 20 to 30 youngsters every single week the things of Christ and the things of God. And so every single thing we did in our family, the truth of God had a bearing upon it. The priority was always doing what was right before God. And that was the environment. That was the atmosphere that I and my two brothers and my sister were brought up in. Always conscious that we must live before God. Always conscious that we must honour Him in the things that we do and how we behave. And they have to say God blessed and used that godly influence. And I thank God for such a home. It was a great privilege. It was a great blessing to be brought up in such a home. Where my parents were so concerned about spiritual matters and so concerned about my spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of my brothers and sister. What an honor. What a privilege. Sometimes I hear people speak about their family and their children, and they'll talk in terms of, well, you know, we wouldn't want to ram it down their throat, or we wouldn't want to force it upon them. Well, you know, you could never speak too much of Christ. As a parent, or even a grandparent, let me say, never stop speaking of Christ and His love. Never stop speaking to your children or your grandchildren of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take every single opportunity that you can and speak to them of Jesus Christ. Is not this the very thing that the Lord told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 11:19? Ye shall teach them your children, speaking of God's word. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And what was God saying to the people of Israel? He was saying, listen, in your homes, and in every part of family life, saturate it with the truth of God, saturate it with the word of God. Ram it down their throats, if you want to use that term. But that's what God was saying. Saturate your home. Let it be this environment. Let your families have this flavour about them. In many ways, this was like our home. And it pleased God to greatly bless the Christian influence I was surrounded with as a child. For when I was only a young boy, I came to Christ. And I made that conscious decision. I wanted Christ as my Saviour. I wanted Christ to be my Saviour and to be my Lord. Now, I don't know what age I was when I was converted. I don't know exactly the date. But I remember that night very well. I remember that I couldn't sleep. And I was only a young boy, and I couldn't sleep. And I called my mother down to my bedroom, and I told her of my concerns. That I wanted to get saved. I knew as a young boy, and I was only a very young boy at that stage, I knew that I was a sinner. And as a sinner, I was under God's judgment, and that Christ had come into this world to die for sinners, and He could save me. And I wanted to accept Him as my Savior. And that's what I did that night as a young boy. And I have to say, ever since then, ever since that time, I have been conscious that Christ is my Savior and that I belong to Him. Ever since that time in my life, I have been conscious that I belong to Christ and that He is my Savior. When I find myself in sin, there's no man that sinneth not. I often was brought back to the thought, what am I doing? You belong to Christ. What are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing this thing? Ever since the time I was converted, the Lord gave me a consciousness of His presence, a consciousness of His nearness, an awareness that I belong to Him. And this has had a great impact, I have to say, and testify. This has had a great impact upon my life. Sometimes when people testify, they speak about when they were saved as a child, and then when they get into teenage years, they backslid and they forgot God and they lived as like the ungodly. That never happened to me. That never happened to me. But yes, I have disappointed the Lord. And I've grieved the Lord and I've walked astray. But I've always been conscious that this is not what I ought to be doing. Conscious that I belong to Him and that I should be living for Him. Since the moment I was saved and even as a child, I always had a desire and interest in the Word of God and in the work of God. I loved to go to missionary meetings and would have saved my money and saved money for different missionaries. There was a missionary who did children's work down in the south of Ireland in Cork, and he used to save all of the brass money, all the one piece and two piece every year. He spent the whole year saving these things, and when my granny or granda came round, I would have redded out their purse and collected all this money to give to this missionary. An interest in the things of God and these spiritual things. And this wasn't because that I was some kind of saint or angel in that sense. I was just a young boy, like every other young boy. Maybe worse, maybe more rowdy and more up to more escality. I was full of life and always liked to have a bit of fun. I was actually thinking this week when I saw the snow falling of a time when me and my brothers decided to have, it wasn't really a snowball fight. It was just attacking an innocent person. We lived close to the airport, Aldergrove Airport, and there was, very often, we would have left people to the airport. They would have left their cars at our home, and then when they come back, we would have lifted them, and they could have went on ahead after coming off the plane. But in this particular occasion, it was snowing, and a lady, it was an elderly lady, was coming off the plane. She was visiting her daughter in Scotland, and it was snowing. And we decided, me and my brothers decided, that we would attack her with snowballs as she arrived back into our yard. And we really got reprimanded for that afterwards. We thought it was a good idea at the time. But after the attack, we discovered it wasn't a good idea and there was going to be severe consequences for us. But that was the kind of environment we were brought up in the sense that we were full of life and full of the things that young boys like to get up to. We weren't sitting studious all the time, full of life and enjoyment. But at the same time, there was an interest in the things of God. You see, God had done a work of grace in my heart and in my life. And I was a different person. And there was this interest in spiritual things. As far as school life was concerned, well, I absolutely hated it. And I hated it with all of my heart. I was going to do one thing when I grew up and left school, and that was to farm. I wanted to farm. I wanted to have my own herd of milking cows. And this was all I had in my head when I was at school. I wanted to farm. And so when I came to the age when I could leave school, I left school and I went to work at our family farm at home. And I could never imagine a scenario where we would not have a farm. I could never imagine a scenario where we wouldn't have a herd of cows. Such a thing was not possible in my mind. That's all I wanted to do, was to farm. My brother also wanted to farm as well, my older brother. And so my parents started to talk about moving. We only had a small farm in that time. We were renting most of our ground, and we started to talk about moving, and my brother went for a time to Canada to work over there. And then Canada came into focus, and we thought, well, you know, we could emigrate to Canada. And we talked about it, and we thought about it, and we visited Canada. And then we decided that we would move. We would move to Canada for farming reasons, so that we could go over there and sell our farm here and buy a farm over twice the size of what we had here. And that is what we planned to do. And so we did that. We sold our cows and our farm, and we went over to Canada and we bought a farm over there. And everything seemed to be falling into place so perfectly. But between selling our farm over here and actually emigrating over to Canada and through immigration and getting our papers, almost 2 years went by. And so in those 2 years, I got a number of different jobs working for local farmers around our area. And then I got a job working for a farmer in England. It was a big farm. A big, big farm. Bigger than anything I'd ever been on before. And I was excited about going there and working on that farm. But on that farm, connected to it, there was a Pentecostal charismatic church. And so as I went there, I went to the church that the people in the farm went to. And really, this was the first time in my life where I had to make a decision for myself where I would worship. The first time in my life where I had to make a conscious decision of where I was going to go to worship. Up until that point in my life, I just followed my parents. And of course, following them was a good example. It was right to follow them. But I'd really just followed them and let them take the lead and never really thought much of what I was doing. But now, for the first time in my life, I had to decide for myself, where am I going to worship? What church am I going to attend? Things happened in this church which I knew to be wrong because of the way I was brought up, because of the way I was taught. I knew the things that were going on in that church were not right. They had no respect for the Lord's Day, none whatsoever. They would have come to the services and then they would have went to the pub in the afternoon. They just behaved like the ungodly. And yet all of the time they claimed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can see all of these things and many, many other things taking place. In that church there was the Toronto Blessing. And so there were, on Sunday evenings they would have been falling over and all of this carry on going on. Chaos and mayhem and terrible things taking place. And I could see all these things, and as I watched and I observed all of these things, I knew them all to be wrong. But you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't open up my Bible and show them where they were wrong and why they were wrong. I couldn't do that. He said, I'd only been drifting along as a Christian. Just freewheeling along in life. And you've not really spoke to me. Here are people, and they're so badly wrong. They're so badly off the mark. And I couldn't speak to them about it. With all the privileges and blessings that I had, I couldn't open up God's word and show them from God's truth where they were wrong. And that spoke to me to such a degree that I started to study God's word. And I started to study it enthusiastically and earnestly started to live for God. I got serious about spiritual things. Started to attend my prayer meeting regularly. Got involved in outreach. Got involved in children's work and in outreach. And I really started to grow as a Christian. I actually started to grow in the most remarkable way. A new world opened up onto me. As I got into God's word, as I had an interest and a focus upon God's word, and as I started really to learn the truth and desire to learn the truth, I began to grow. I began to develop. The Lord says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And you see, that was what was happening to me. Previously, I'd been sitting in God's house. I'd been singing the hymns. I'd been part of the fellowship. But I'd been sitting there passively doing nothing. But now I was active. Now when the minister preached, I wanted to know more of what he said. I wanted to know the full story. Tell me more. And I wanted to read and study and learn and develop. These are the things that I wanted to know. You see, I now became serious. Serious about the things of God. Serious about his word and about his truth and how he wanted me to live and what was right and what was wrong. Maybe that's you tonight, but let me just pause for a moment. Maybe you're a Christian and you're just coming and going, but really going nowhere. You know, if you apply yourself to the word of God and if you get serious about these things, a new world will open up unto you. What a blessing and what a thrill God's word will be. And so this was a time of blessing, a time of reformation in my life. It was also at this time I met Janet. And within a year of meeting her, we were married. That also was like a reformation in my life. Because at that particular time I was living by myself. And things were ropey, to say the least. Cooking was ropey, and looking after yourself was, well, it was just grim. And so getting married to Janet transformed my domestic life. Martin Luther, it was said of Martin Luther, he brought Reformation to Europe. And then when he got married, his wife brought Reformation to his life. Well, that was a wee bit like my life. It was like Reformation when I got married to Janet. And it was a great improvement in as far as domestic affairs were concerned. The plan was, after we get married, we would go to Canada. My parents and other siblings had already emigrated to Canada. And I'd also got my immigration papers and I was ready to go. But Janet now had to apply for hers. And so the process was all started again. And she had to apply for her papers. And we were delayed further. They had gone and they were over there. And we had to wait here now for for Janet's papers. But God already began to work it within my heart about going to Bible college. God was already dealing with me. For months now, I've been under the greatest burden in regard to serving Christ on a full-time basis. I've been involved in God's work in many aspects. Outreach, children's work, youth work. The Lord was giving me a great concern and a trouble of heart about full-time service. The great fear I had was I had no qualifications. I had left school without any qualifications. As I said, I hated school. And so therefore I didn't apply myself to any aspect of school life. And I had no qualifications. And the thought of having to go back to school, the thought of study, frightened me. It was a fearful thought. And so we began the process of applying for Janet's immigration papers. Yet I knew the whole time that it wasn't right. What we were doing was not right. But you see, there was this struggle. The struggle in my heart and the struggle in my mind. This battle raging. And it was a real struggle. Every time I opened up God's word, it seemed to speak to me about this. And God was challenging me. I remember two meetings particularly where the Lord spoke to me in a most powerful way. One of them was a young people's meeting in Guildford. There was a meeting down there on a Saturday night called The Flame. And we used to go there on a Saturday night. And the Reverend John Hannah was the speaker on this particular occasion. And he spoke about the work he was involved in. I don't even remember what he spoke about. But he spoke and that was fine. And then after he spoke, the young man that was leading the meeting got up. And he said something along these lines. Maybe you're here tonight. And God has been speaking to you. God has been speaking to you about full-time service. And you're arguing with God that you do not have the ability. And that night I broke down in that meeting. And I tried to disguise it from all those that were around me. I was broken. Because God was dealing with me. I remember another meeting. It was a prayer meeting in the church we attended in Randallstown. And Everett Millen was preaching. I don't even know what he was preaching about. But he just happened to make the comment as he was preaching. There's not many young people going into our college today. And I felt that night that everyone in that room was looking at me. I felt that night that I was being pointed at. And I felt like saying to everybody, what are you looking at? But of course they weren't. It was the Lord dealing with me. And the Lord moving in my heart and in my life. I also remember going to a funeral. And at this funeral there was a man there. He's an elder in one of our churches. And I was speaking to him about going to Canada and the plans and how we hope to be there for such and such a time. And he just cut me off as blunt as you can imagine. And he said, you don't need to go to college or Canada. You need to go to Bible college. And I was taken back that day. But the struggle continued in my heart, in my life. I remember even at that time praying, Lord, leave me alone. Foolishly praying, Lord, leave me alone. Take away this struggle. Take away this burden from my heart. But the Lord wouldn't. And he continued to deal with me. And then one day I was reading in God's word in Isaiah 41 and the verse 10. And it says in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you know, the Lord spoke to me in a very definite way as I read this verse of scripture. Because every opposition, every resistance that I had made, every argument that cast up before the Lord knocked every single one of them down through his truth. Fear thou not. Well, I was fearful. Be not dismayed. I was dismayed. And the Lord says, for I am thy God. If you believe me, I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I had to surrender to the truth of God's word. I had no other choice. This was God speaking to me. And so therefore I had to surrender to God's will and to his speaking voice. I had to tell my family, of course, that I wasn't going to Canada, which wasn't easy. They had moved there. They had immigrated there. And it was with me in view, me and my brother. But they accepted it as God's will. And so therefore, I went to Bible college. I applied to Bible college. You have to say the Lord helped in a marvelous sense in every way as we went to Bible college. The Lord helped with our studies. He gave grace and He gave wisdom. We applied ourselves and the Lord gave help in every part. He also helped financially. And He blessed us there. He met our need. We lacked for nothing. And the Lord supplied our need as a family financially. And He also blessed us as a family as well. We went into Bible college with two children, with Grace and Ben. And in Bible college we had also two more, Caleb and Joshua. And then after Bible college the Lord has increased us further with Luke and Anna. And so the Lord has blessed us in this sense in every way. And those days in Bible college were good days. They were blessed days. And the Lord gave help. But you know, even in college, God prepared me for the years that would follow after college. During my time there, I worked part-time with a plumber and heating engineer. Now, this wasn't something that I chose. This work came along my way. I was asked to go and help this heating engineer. And that's what I did. And this work came along. And so, therefore, I worked part-time. And that's why I was in Bible college. You see, God was preparing me for the next part of my life. When I left Bible college, I expected a door of service to open right away. But that wasn't God's will. That wasn't God's purpose for my life. That door of opportunity, that door would not open for another 8 years. However, God in His wisdom had prepared me for these 8 years. While in Bible college, I served my time as a heating engineer, and I became fully qualified. I went self-employed, and the marvelous thing was, I never went a day without work. Never a day without work. Even when the recession of 2008 hit, God always provided the work. He always met our need. And I remember talking to other plumbers, and they were saying, oh, we can't get work, and other plumbers that had been in the business far longer than I had, and were far better known. I remember one plumber and he was working part-time in Marks and Spencer's. And yet the Lord was meeting my need continually and daily. And God really blessed and provided for us in that sense. Yet for the years I was out of college and back in secular employment, I never lost the desire to preach or to serve Christ. That was always the burden of my heart. Always the concern. I couldn't leave it. I couldn't let it go. And so, when God in His own time opened the door of service here in Garva, I really didn't have the choice to make. Didn't have a decision really to make about it. God had opened the door. That's the thing I'd been praying about for years. The Lord now had opened the door. When I closed my business, people kept saying to me, are you really going to give these things all up? Are you really going to do it? Are you really going to leave it all behind? And they were thinking, what a loss, giving up all of this. But honestly, I don't feel I was giving anything up. The idea of giving something up is you lose out. And you can never lose out with God. You can never lose out with Christ. Never. No matter how hard or no matter how difficult the way, you can never lose out in serving Christ. For the years I did work in secular employment, God taught me many things. And I look upon them as years of training and years of preparation. Moses, we were talking about this before the service, Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years before the Lord called him to his field, his place of service. He was there for 40 years. And I didn't have to go into the wilderness for 40 years. It was only 8 years. But the Lord always has His time. And He always prepares His people exactly as they are to be prepared. I've now been the minister here in Garva for 5 years. And it is the prayer of my heart that God would simply bless His work here. That is the longing. And that is the prayer of my heart. That God will bless His work here. And that God would bless every family and every individual that is associated with this work. It is my prayer that God would use my life and make it useful in some way for His honor and for His glory. Read in Judges 15 how Samson took the jawbone of an ass. And he took that jawbone of an ass and he slew 1,000 men with it. That dead piece of a bone had a use when it was energized by the power of Samson. And of course, Samson was energized by the power of God. Well, I am by nature is but a piece of dead bone. That's all I am by nature. But I pray God will put his hand upon this bone and make my life something which brings glory and honor to him. That is simply my desire, that God would use me in some way for his honor and for his glory. The Lord has done great things for me, whereof I am glad. Oh, that I might in some way be able to do something for him. It will bring praise to his name. In closing, let us again think of these words which we read earlier in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here we have the key for a successful and happy life. You know, here we've also the key for a successful and happy death. And a successful and happy eternity. To trust in the Lord with all our hearts is what God requires of man. That's what God requires of man, of sinners. Trust me. What is it to trust in the Lord? Well, it's to believe in him. It's to believe in him. It is to believe in his word. To believe the things that God has said about himself. That he is the eternal God, the one that we have to give account to. It is also to believe not only the things that God says about himself, but the things God says about man. It's to believe his word. And to believe the things God says about man and sin. And how we have all sinned and broken his law. To trust in the Lord is to believe in his word. It's also to believe in his work. It's to believe in Christ. Oh, if you're trusting in the Lord, then you believe in Christ's work, in the work of atonement, in the work of the cross, in the work that Christ performed as he came into this world, and lived and died and gave his life a sacrifice for his people. To trust in the Lord is to believe in this work, the work of Christ upon the cross. To trust in the Lord is to believe in his way, the way of salvation, the way of salvation that he has revealed in his truth. To repent and to believe the gospel. Those that trust in the Lord, they believe in his word, they believe in his work. And they believe in his way of salvation. Let me ask you tonight, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in him? Perhaps it is the case in your life that you're not trusting in the Lord. Instead, you're doing the other thing which is mentioned here. You're leaning on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding. And how many do that? In fact, the vast majority of people in this world, that's exactly how they're living and that's exactly how they're dying. Leaning on their own understanding. Leaning perhaps on their respectability. Leaning on their religion. Leaning on their self-righteousness. Leaning on their morals. Leaning on their ethics. Leaning on their opinions. Whatever it is. People aren't trusting in the Lord because they're leaning on their own understanding. Well, remember, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful above all things. Don't trust in your own heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in Christ. Take him as your Savior. He is the only one that can save. The only one that can deliver. And transform your life. I can say with all my heart, he is no disappointment. He brings life. And he brings life more abundant. May it be the case that all here tonight in God's house will trust in the Lord with all their heart. And come to know. And come to enjoy his so great salvation. May God bless these words to our hearts tonight. And may we all be able to testify in our lives of his saving grace and saving power. Amen.